With the ascension to the throne of Cyrus, Yahweh's shepherd, that was prophesied by Isaiah to rebuild the temple in Jerusalem, Daniel and his contemporaries anticipated the fulfillment of the 70 years captivity and new life for the people and nation of Israel, the subject that Brother Rodney is touching upon this week. Yet for all of this, Daniel was greatly troubled, and he mourned, we are told, for 3 weeks or weeks of days. And we might wonder, why so much grief on Daniel's behalf? Wasn't he living here now at the dawn of a new era of hope under a monarch who would now show favor to Yahweh's people? No doubt he understood the implications of the fulfillment of Isaiah's prophecy concerning Cyrus and the imminent return of Israel to the land of promise. He might have even lived to see preparations being made for the return of a remnant of the people to the land. Why mourning at this time? Daniel had also seen far more than all his contemporaries concerning the long-reaching purpose of Yahweh. And this is what troubled him. The coming restoration, though joyous, though necessary to till the fertile ground for the Spirit Word to be sown, was, in the final event, only temporary. Daniel had seen the vision of the 70 years prophecy, that 490 years would yet be fulfilled until the cutting off of Messiah. And further, this would result in the destruction of the city of Jerusalem before it had yet even been restored. So even while he is living his last days on the eve of the new era, in the restoration of the kingdom and the rebuilding of the temple, yet he saw that the kingdom would yet be thrown down again and Messiah would be cut off. So was Daniel's view of things without gratitude? Was he suddenly, after a lifetime of servitude, lacking faith? We think not. For we believe that the responsibility he bore, given the knowledge he received, was awesome, far beyond any weight of responsibility, perhaps, that any of us could endure. Like Jesus, Daniel was a suffering servant who endured with patience to the end what Yahweh's messenger proposed would be brought to pass. He required strength that his faith might overcome the frailty of the flesh and that he might be made to understand the complexity and the gravity of what had been revealed to him. And should we not feel similarly? Have we not been given the panorama of history laid before us, all in accordance with the prophetic word, all in accordance with the visions of both Daniel and the Apocalypse? We, like Daniel, ought to be sober, self-searching, humble, awed at the majesty, the complexity, and mercy of Yahweh for seeking us out from among the millions of mankind to receive his message of hope and eternal purpose with the earth. I'd like to turn at this time to two scriptures in 1 Peter, beginning at chapter 1. Chapter 1, verses 13 to 16. Wherefore, gird up the loins of your mind, be sober, and hope to the end for the grace that is to be brought unto you at the revelation of Jesus Christ, as obedient children, not fashioning yourselves according to the former lusts in your ignorance. But as he which hath called you is holy, so be ye holy in all manner of conversation. Because it is written, be ye holy, for I am holy. And turn over one chapter to, over to chapter 4 of 1 Peter and verse 7. But the end of all things is at hand. Be ye therefore sober and watch unto prayer. So these things humble Daniel, and they should humble us as well. Returning to Daniel, he is given a vision, a revelation of the multitudinous man of one, like unto a barrel. In concert with all the previous visions of the prophetic history, caused him to know that the year of liberty in the eternal sense would not be realized in the days of Cyrus. They would be realized in a temporary sense, but not in the eternal sense. Nor to be expected until the expiration of 2,520 years of Gentile dominion over Israel. Again, while a temporary end to Gentile night was approaching for the nation as a whole, we also note the real gravity of the situation at the personal level, as far as Daniel is concerned. Daniel was approaching the end of his walk, and the sleep of death was about to enclose upon him for many days. From Exposition of Daniel, page 45, we quote, while contemplating this great vision, he was subjected to an operation indicative of his approaching decease and of the process he and others would have to go through. He and others would have to go through in passing from the death sleep of Sheol to the firmamental and enduring brightness of the kingdom, unquote. The symbolic death, burial, and resurrection caused to be enacted by Daniel, therefore, is representative of all the redeemed until the time of the end, when many of them that sleep in the dust of the earth shall awake, some to everlasting life, and some to shame and everlasting contempt. Daniel 12. We would now like to draw your attention specifically to verses 2 and 3 of Daniel, the 10th chapter, and then verses 8 through 19, and to rehearse the process to which Daniel was subjected, indicative of his faithful walk unto the end of his days, his death, his sleep in the grave, the resurrection morn, giving an account at the judgment seat, approval, and immortalization. By this action, Daniel and we should be strengthened to know that despite the present setback of our mortality, we will nevertheless stand again at the end of days and become part of that multitudinous man of one, likened to the barrel, and the restitution of all things. Let's reread verses 2, 3, and 8 of Daniel 10. In those days, I, Daniel, was mourning 3 full weeks. I ate no pleasant bread, neither came flesh nor wine in my mouth, neither did I anoint myself at all, till 3 whole weeks were fulfilled. Verse 8. Therefore I was left alone and saw this great vision, and there remained no strength in me, for my comeliness was turned in me into corruption, and I retained no strength. Daniel, a man greatly beloved, desired with all his heart to understand the vision, the whole of it, all the parts together. His hunger and thirst was so great for this knowledge, and this was what was troubling him so, that it passed beyond all desire for the natural comforts of this life. And in that, I think there's a lesson for us, if we'll turn to Matthew chapter 5, verse 6. Blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. And also Matthew 6, 33 and 34. Again, ye have heard that it hath been said by them of old time. Chapter 6, 33. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Take therefore no thought for the morrow, for the morrow shall take thought for the things of itself. Sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof. So this is a matter of priority for us. We see what consumed Daniel's desire, what consumes ours. Again, we find Daniel in a state of mourning for the final restitution of all things, forsaking the king's meat, as it were, fasting for a period of 21 days. We would note that 21 is the product of 3 and 7, which without coincidence is the number of resurrection and the number of the covenant or spiritual perfection. We suggest that this represents the times of the Gentiles, during which angelic messengers are working to accomplish Yahweh's plan within the framework of free will among the kings of the earth, at the end of which will come the resurrection of the dead by the power invested in the messenger of the covenant, even Jesus Christ. And you will note within this chapter, verse 13, let's read that also, Daniel chapter 10, that is. Daniel mourned and fasted for 21 days. Concurrent with that, we see in verse 13, but the prince of the kingdom of Persia withstood me 1 and 20 days. But lo, Michael, one of the chief princes, came to help me, and I remained there with the king's of Persia. Again, a time period representative of when God is working out his plan among the kings of the earth. During these long epochs of time, the faithful servants of Yahweh stand alone or separate among their contemporaries. From the record, certainly this was true concerning Daniel and the other prophets of Israel. Jesus and the apostles also became outcasts for doing the will of the Father to the consternation of their brethren. What about our generation? What about us? Are we willing to stand alone, apart from the mass infotainment culture, the high volume, low quality, no morality generation of Eglon Seed Royal? Shall we help ourselves and join them in their mad excess of riot? Whether it be fashion, fame, wealth, pleasure, career, what have you. I believe that this example which Daniel sets shows us that it is only by constant restraint and abstinence from worldly activities, or we might say spiritual fasting, that we may in any wise remain separate and not be corrupted by the delicacies of Babylon's table or the king's meat. Unfortunately, often those of faith, when their eyes are fixed upon the divine vision of glory, are forsaken by family and friends who are offended at their steadfastness towards the word of Yahweh and their disinterest in the traditions of men. Turn with me to Luke 6, verses 20 to 26. And he lifted up his eyes on his disciples and said, "Blessed are the poor, for yours is the kingdom of God. Blessed are ye that hunger now, for ye shall be filled. Blessed are ye that weep, for now ye shall laugh. Blessed are ye when men shall hate you, and when they shall separate you from their company, and shall reproach you, and cast out your name as evil, for the Son of Man's sake." Ironic. "Rejoice," he says, "rejoice ye in that day, and leap for joy, for behold, your reward is great in heaven. For in the like manner did their fathers unto the prophets. But woe unto you that are rich, for ye have received your consolation. Woe unto you that are full, for ye shall hunger. Woe unto you that laugh now, for ye shall mourn and weep. Woe unto you when all men shall speak well of you, for so did their fathers to the false prophets." 1 Corinthians 15:58. "Therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as ye know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord." 2 Corinthians 6:17. "Wherefore, come out from among them, and be ye separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you." Romans 12, 1 and 2, very familiar verses to us all. "I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world. Be not conformed to this world. But be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God." Daniel's last days. We now turn to Daniel's last days. In the latter part of verse 8 of Daniel chapter 10, we are seeing the effects of mortality upon the advancing years of the faithful. So this is not only true for Daniel, it's true for all of us that suffer mortality. Alternate translations render this verse as, quote, "For my bright complexion turns to a deathly pale," unquote. This is the way of all flesh. For all flesh is as grass, all the glory of man is the flower of grass. The grass withereth, and the flower thereof falleth away. The word translated corruption here in the Authorized Version is the Hebrew mash hit, meaning destruction, or that which is a destroyer. This, brothers and sisters, is that enemy that was overthrown by Jesus in rendering perfect obedience unto death, by which he destroyed him that had the power of death, that is, the diabolos, But at last, for Daniel, as with all of Adam's posterity, the grip of death was upon him, and he, as he said, retained no strength. Turn with me to Psalms 88, verses 1 to 5. O Lord God of my salvation, I have cried day and night before Thee. Let my prayer come before Thee. Incline Thine ear unto my cry. For my soul is full of troubles, and my life draweth nigh into the grave. I am counted with them that go down into the pit. I am as a man that hath no strength, free among the dead, like the slain that lie in the grave, whom Thou rememberest no more, and they are cut off from Thy hand. However, we know that there is a difference between those who, like the beasts, perish versus those that sleep in the Lord. Daniel chapter 10, verse 9. Yet I heard the voice of His words, and when I heard the voice of His words, then was I in a deep sleep on my face, and my face toward the ground. When Yahweh formed Eve, He caused a deep sleep to fall upon Adam. It was not an eternal sleep of death, but a temporary sleep by which his bride was developed. The last Adam also fell asleep for 3 days, by which his bride would also be developed. That is, those who are baptized into his death and will be raised again in newness of life that will comprise the bride of Christ in prospect. Daniel and the redeemed of all ages sleep in this manner. They sleep, but are not perished. They know nothing at all, but of them it is recorded in the mind of Deity that they heard the voice of Yahweh's words. In the Apocalypse, the faithful of ages are identified as being asleep in the dust and beneath the altar of Christ. And they speak, saying, How long, O Lord, holy, just, and true, dost Thou not judge and avenge our blood on them that dwell on the earth? So this is meant in the same manner as the blood of Abel crying from the ground. How is it then that the dead in covenant both speak and hear? It is, of course, language given from the perspective of the mind of Deity, who has given to His Son power and authority, even the keys of the grave and of death. Let's look quickly at Revelation 1:18. That reference is not up there. Revelation 1:18, being one of them. I am He that liveth and was dead, and behold, I am alive forevermore. Amen. And have the keys of hell and of death. And similarly, Zechariah 9, verse 11. As for thee also, by the blood of thy covenant, I have set forth thy prisoners out of the pit or the grave, wherein is no water. Yahweh, through His Son, knows all of those who are His, whether they are alive or asleep beneath the ground. Turn also to John 5. Verse 27. John 5:27, and hath given him, that is Christ, authority to execute judgment also, because he is the Son of Man. Marvel not at this, for the hour is coming in which all that are in the graves, and we, of course, believe that is all that are in the marked graves, as it were, shall hear his voice, and shall come forth, they that have done good unto the resurrection of life, they that have done evil unto the resurrection of condemnation. In 1 Thessalonians 4:14-15. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them also which sleep in Jesus will God bring with him. For this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not prevent them which are asleep. So we've gone beyond the death state now, and now we want to explore Daniel's symbolic resurrection. I'd like to read a quote from the Daniel Expositor on page 275. Quote, Daniel now undergoes a unique and amazing experience. Prostrate as though dead, he feels a touch that comes to him to revive. Though still affected by weakness, he is lifted up by strong hands to hear a majestic, powerful voice. He trembles. Thus he enacts in type the drama of the resurrection, when many will be brought to judgment, though still shackled with the weakness of mortality. Unquote. Only once before had Daniel undergone a similar experience, which is recorded in Daniel 8:18. And the Apostle John, when receiving the vision of the apocalypse, likewise saw a vision of the multitudinous man of one that Daniel saw. And likewise, he experienced a typical death and resurrection when hearing the voice of a trumpet, symbolic of the call to resurrection morn, and he turned to hear the voice behind him. Let's look at back there again, if your hand is still there, at 1 Thessalonians 4, and we'll continue reading verse 16 and 17. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of an archangel, with the trump or trumpet of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds, or the political aerial, to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. Now turn over to Revelation 1, and we'll look at verses 10 and 12. Which is what John experienced, similarly to what Daniel experienced. Revelation 1. I was in the Spirit on the Lord's day, this is verse 10, and heard behind me a great voice, and note, as a trumpet. Verse 12. And I turned to see the voice that spake with me, and being turned, I saw seven golden lampstands. And the vision proceeds similarly as the multitudinous man of one. So what will it be like on the resurrection morning? I think we've had that question posed to us already this week. What will it be like on the resurrection morning? Turn with me to Exodus 19, verses 16 and 17. (Clears throat) And I think the timing is important here. It came to pass on the third day in the morning. Sound familiar? That there were thunders and lightnings and a thick cloud upon the mount, and the voice of the trumpet exceeding loud, so that all the people that was in the camp trembled. And Moses brought forth the people out of the camp to meet with God, if you can imagine such a thing. And they stood at the nether part of the mount. The experiences of Moses and the children of Israel, we believe, show that the redemptive work of Christ, made effective upon the third morning, will bring forth the faithful to the mountain of Yahweh's judgment, or the judgment seat. Consider this body of Israel being like unto believers, gathered to meet God, as it were, in the day of judgment. All the people of the camp of Israel trembled. And so we believe it will be in the last day when we are gathered together to see our Master. Daniel's experiences, however, also give us a closer look into the miracle and the wonder of Yahweh's creative power, as well as the trembling flesh of mortal men approaching the Bema of Christ. From mere particles of earth, the infinite mind and power of the uncreate will reform the body structure from a pattern not somewhat like, but identical to, the person reformed. Thus Daniel was set upon his knees in the palms of his hands, and his former identity is wholly restored to him in type by the angel who declares, quote, O Daniel, a man greatly beloved, understand the words that I speak with thee. Christ demonstrated that to him had been conveyed the authority of the resurrection to life when he declared, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. And whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die. Believest thou this? Do you understand what I'm saying to you? He says. And thereafter Jesus restored the person's identity, saying, Lazarus, come forth. Loose him and let him go. Likewise, Daniel was caused to stand upon his feet, trembling before the mighty angel. And when this occurs in the last day, the shepherd of Israel will speak to his trembling sheep to calm their fears, as with Daniel. And what does he say? Fear not, Daniel. Turn with me to Isaiah 41. Isaiah 41, 13 and 14. For I, the Lord thy God, will hold thy right hand, saying unto thee, Fear not, I will help thee. Fear not, thou worm Jacob, and ye men of Israel, I will help thee, saith the Lord, and thy Redeemer, the Holy One of Israel. Luke 12:32. Fear not, little flock, for it is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. Revelation 1:16-17. continuing division which John experienced. And he had in his right hand seven stars, and out of his mouth went a sharp two-edged sword. And his countenance was as the sun shineth in his strength. And when I saw him, I fell at his feet as dead. And he laid his right hand upon me, saying unto me, Fear not, I am the first and the last. The culmination of Daniel standing again and trembling is an answer to the question posed by the Apostle Paul to the Corinthian brethren. That is, how are the dead raised up? And with what body do they come? Paul showed them that there was an animal body and a spiritual body, and that the animal body must first be reformed before the making of a spiritual body. I'd like to read a quotation here from Elpis Israel on this point. When the time comes for the righteous dead to rise, then he that raised up Christ from the dead will also make alive their mortal bodies by his Spirit, operating through Jesus upon their dust and fashioning it into the image of the Lord from heaven. Thus, as the Elohim made man out of the dust in their own image and likeness, so the Lord Jesus, by the same Spirit, will also refashion from the dust the righteous posterity of the first Adam into his own image and likeness. This is wonderful, that by a man should come the resurrection of the dead. Truly may he be called the Wonderful. Hereafter the creator of myriads, now only dust and ashes, but then equal to the angels of God and sons of resurrection, of which he himself is the first fruits. At last, we are brought before the judgment seat. In Daniel 10, verses 15 to 17. And when he had spoken such words unto me, I set my face toward the ground, and I became dumb. And behold, one like the similitude of the sons of men touched my lips. Then I opened my mouth and spake and said unto him that stood before me, O my Lord, by the vision of my sorrows are turned upon me, and I have retained no strength. For how can the servant of this my Lord talk with this my Lord? For as for me, straightway there remains no strength in me, neither is there breath left in me. So consider that thought as we would approach the Master to see his face. How can the servant of this my Lord talk with this my Lord? How will we speak to the Son of the living God? Whatever the awe and trepidation we may experience at the time of resurrection, nothing will compare with the standing before the Son of Man. Some here may have trembled before an earthly judge, but we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that everyone may receive the things done in his body according to that he hath done, whether it be good or bad. Knowing therefore the terror of the Lord, we persuade men, but we are made manifest unto God, and I trust also are made manifest in your consciences. 2 Corinthians 5, 10 and 11. Daniel, a great man of faith, was dumbstruck as he stood before the angel, who was but a representative of the future judge of all the earth. For him the words were sure and of great comfort. Verse 19, O man greatly beloved, fear not. Peace be unto thee. and be strong, yea, be strong. And when he had spoken unto me, I was strengthened and said, let my Lord speak, for thou hast strengthened me. Daniel, as a representative man of the faithful of all ages, receives both words of approval and immortalization. We suggest that those approved at the judgment seat of Christ may receive their reward simultaneously as a group. It's something to think about. Imagine, if you will, the manifestation of immortal power in a great army that no man could number, that will cry out with a great shout, singing together the song of Moses and the Lamb, saying with a loud voice, worthy is the Lamb that was slain to receive power and riches and wisdom and strength and honor and glory and blessing. And every creature which is in heaven and on earth and under the earth and such as are in the sea and all that are in them heard I saying, blessing and honor and glory and power be unto him that sitteth upon the throne and unto the Lamb forever and ever. In Habakkuk, the third chapter, verse 1, there is recorded a glimpse of what I believe will be a great event. In that first verse of Habakkuk chapter 3, we see a great crying aloud as the prophet looked across the panorama of the battles of Armageddon with the rainbowed angel about to go forth from Sinai and march through the land in indignation. Here, he utters a word called Shigionoth. Shigionoth means a crying aloud in the feminine gender. We feel that this is the bride of Christ who has been strengthened by the spirit power of Yahweh and, like Daniel, is caused to understand the finality and purpose for which Michael, the final messenger and warrior for Israel, will stand up. Turn over to Daniel 12 and we'll read verses 1 and 3. At that time shall Michael stand up, the great prince, which standeth for the children of thy people, and there shall be a time of trouble such as never was since. There was a nation even to that same time. And at that time thy people shall be delivered, every one shall be found written in the book. Verse 3, and they that be wise shall shine as the brightness of the firmament, and they that turn many to righteousness as the stars forevermore, forever and ever. In closing, we must each ponder the question, where will we stand before the judge of all the earth when our lives are weighed in the balances? Daniel's record indicated that he set in his heart to understand the vision and purpose of Yahweh, and that in constant self-denial and vigilant prayer, he yearned to draw nigh to the name and purpose of the deity. Where do our affections lie, if not wholly toward the God of Israel? Whatever our present state of affairs may be, from Yahweh's point of view, and only He knows, let us draw nigh unto Him now. As midnight approaches, let us rejoice in the promise of life for those who manifest their faith, like Daniel, in works of righteousness until the morning dawns. I would like to close with the scripture that was on our opening slide, which is in Psalms chapter 30, verses 1 to 5. I will extol thee, O Lord, for thou hast lifted me up, and and thou hast not made my foes to rejoice over me. O Lord my God, I cried unto thee, and thou hast healed me. O Lord, thou hast brought up my soul from the grave. Thou hast kept me alive, that I should not go down to the pit. Sing unto the Lord, ye saints of his, and give thanks at the remembrance of his holiness. For his anger endureth but a moment. In his favor is life. Weeping may endure for a night, but joy cometh in the morning. Thank you.